This is the Bloomington Review with Jim Inman
on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Good evening, Bloomington. Happy Friday to you, May 6, 2016, or catching the replay on Saturday morning. Glad you're joining us here on WGCL for one of the craziest weekends in Monroe County, Dr. Pillar.
It is, yeah. Josh, we just got through the little five, and now here we are for graduation. So, you know, my number one tip for everybody is if you're listening on Friday night and you're trying to get into town and leave yourself extra time, because we came home from Indianapolis about a week and a half ago. It was a Monday, so about 11 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And from Bottom Road down there at the foot of the hill, mm-hmm. By the College Avenue exit all the way up to the bypass, three police officers with three cars pulled over. So they've sent out that 45 is strict. 45 miles an hour is strict, and so be careful on your speed. Watch your speed, and then, you know, obviously once you get into town, it's nuts. So
right.
we're going to wrap graduation weekend in with Mother's Day weekend. So what are you having for brunch on Sunday? Because I'm coming to your house. Because that's the only place you can get a reservation.
I'm assuming – I haven't really talked to my sister. Got to figure this out. I'm assuming that she's coming up from Kentucky, and we always go out of town because
you
can't go anywhere in Bloomington, which is okay. It's just, you know, finding – spot and all that good stuff, but
yeah. But anyway, a crazy week, Jim. Geez, you know, you and Keith did a outstanding job.
Thanks.
As usual on your election coverage, and a lot of fun. I didn't hear it, but I heard that there was the following morning that Keith was on with Gordon Deal on the this morning news
5:15, 5:30
in the morning,
Wednesday morning.
Oh
yes.
My goodness, no wonder I didn't hear it.
That's that WGCL cot that we keep here.
Oh,
you
yes.
know, he just brought his stuff to camp out that night. But yeah, it was a fun night. It was very interesting. There was so much news that came out in the night, not just with the election results, but the young man, the former the IU graduate who was the Navy SEAL, it was announced his name that night. Then, of course, Ted Cruz steps out of the race. And it was fun. It was interactive. We had great guests in the studio and dialing in. Don Moore, David Sabah in the studio, and then a variety of folks from Libertarian, Republican, and Democrat parties.
Yes.
But as we've got in news, one of the stories is the great turnout, considering what we've had in the past.
Yeah.
Not so great for the entire county.
Relatively speaking, the turnout was good. But anyway, you know, it's another testament to the excellent job that WGCL does with local community radio for election coverage. And I know that's the time of year where weather coverage obviously becomes a big deal with all that that's happened in the last couple of weeks. But really a nice job. I'm glad to see you didn't get voted out of the host chair.
Thanks.
Over there.
I was more on the social media side, but I throw in every now and again and, you know, say, you know, whatever I needed to do, whatever kind of cheer to rally
and cheers
the troops.
To the election folks for getting results back in quickly, accurately. There have been many years where we go to bed having no idea what happened,
right.
And here we went to bed with what was it, the auditor? I believe
the auditor
was the only
yep.
one that was like really, really close that they were hesitant to call. Besides that, it was great.
And there was a lot of discussion about the District 9 race as well.
Yeah.
So, we're not going down the political road. If you haven't figured out what the results are tonight, by tonight, you probably shouldn't have even voted.
You're a little late to the party, no matter what party you're in.
Yep, exactly. Speaking of parties, Sarah Peden's going to be joining us in just a little bit. She has a great story about her young daughter, Lillian, who was born with Prader-Willi syndrome. And May is Prader-Willi syndrome month. So Sarah's going to be back on. She was on a year or two ago. And it's really a fascinating story and some good information about this rare genetic condition. So Sarah will be on in just a little bit. And then next week for another month piece, if you will, Sonia Pruitt, a friend of mine, she is with IU Health on the neurological team. It's Stroke Awareness Month as well. So the signs.
You're hanging out with all those brain people, aren't you?
Doing everything that we can, brother.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So we've got a packed schedule over the next few weeks here on the Bloomington Review. I was going to see if your wife might have made an appearance tonight to ask her about the Janet Jackson rumor.
Oh yeah,
is she thinking that Ms. Jackson is expecting a child?
That's the word on the street, Jim.
Okay,
49 years old.
Pregnant. Yes,
first time I think.
That's the thing that other people have said.
Yeah,
they think.
Yeah.
Because there's never really been a publicized, but well, then there's some rumors.
But you have to remember, I mean, you know, back in the day when Escapade was hot, Jim, and this is where I would love to be high budget enough that we could plug in that music right now so
right.
everyone could hear it, but we're
right.
not. But you could sing a couple of lines if
nope,
you want
sure
people
can't.
To do that. But, you know, gosh, it's been, what, 15 years ago, and she's kind of disappeared from the public uh-huh. eye ever since Wardrobe Gate, or what did they,
yep,
the wardrobe
malfunction.
At the Super Bowl with Justin Timberlake. And I mean, if you think about where JT is now with being, you know, kind of really one of the most popular, if not the most popular entertainer mm-hmm. on music and acting, that seems like it's been a lifetime ago. So
right.
Janet's kind of disappeared, and then all of a sudden she comes back and has a tour, dates announced, and now all of a sudden she cancels, and now we might know why.
There you go. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll give you your forecast for the graduation weekend. Start to say election, but that's over and done. Your Mother's Day forecast, and get you some local news as well. We'll touch on sports later on in the hour, and some big news out of the Pacers on Thursday this
yes.
week. So we'll get Dr. Pillar's take on that and much more. Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview, and of course WGCLRadio.com. We're streaming over there 24/7 as well. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay with us here on The Bloomington Review. Welcome back to The Bloomington Review. Jim Inman along with David Pillar, and the wet forecast for the weekend and the week, sir.
Well, it was beautiful today, Jim, but if you're with us Friday night, partly cloudy, low around 52 the rest of the evening. Saturday, 20% chance of showers, thunderstorms later in the afternoon, so let's get graduation in, over with, and all of that, but mostly sunny otherwise, high near 80, could be up to 85. Saturday night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely and possible thunderstorm after 8, mostly cloudy, low around 51 overnight. Then Sunday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy. High temperature drops back down to 64. But early next week looks like rain Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and then should be nice next weekend, I think, Jim.
Hopefully so. Well, we talked a little bit about the election in the last segment, and of course, if you tuned into WGCL radio on Tuesday night, you heard all of the results as they came in. More than 36,000 voters in the county turned out. That's a couple thousand more than the record number in 2008, according to Monroe County Clerk Nicole Brown. Back then, we had in 2008, we had 34,000, almost 500. And in the 2012 election, we had just 15,500 voters. I think there's a little over 100,000 registered voters in Monroe County.
That's probably close.
So we're
yeah.
right about a third-ish. There's always talk about how the IU students factor into that mm-hmm. as they are
where they're registered
residents
and
how long they stay on that list
right.
and whatnot. But again, a very nice turnout considering what we've had in the last couple of years. But by the same token, everybody should go out and vote if at all possible.
We agree with that, Jim.
Yep.
We agree. Sad news, like you did, you mentioned it, that did come out earlier this week, is that Navy SEAL Charlie Keating died Tuesday in northern Iraq. After ISIS militants penetrated Kurdish defense lines and launched an attack with small arms and car bombs. Keating, known as C4 because he had the same name as three generations before him, is also a cousin of Olympic swimming champion Gary Hall Jr. That's not why we mention him. We mention him because the 2004 graduate of Arcadia High School in Phoenix was also an IU graduate. He was on the track and cross-country teams at Indiana University for 2 years before enlisted. So technically, I apologize, he may not have graduated from IU, but he attended IU, mm-hmm. was on those running teams. And then shortly after his sophomore year, he left to join the Navy. And so his former college coach, Robert Chapman, here from IU, said the runner wanted to be a high achiever, but not necessarily to be a Big Ten champion or All-American. He wanted to serve at a different level. And that went to direct admittance and training at Coronado, California, to become a Navy SEAL, the elite special ops force that less than 25% of people who start that process complete. Charlie had a calling, a sense of duty to serve his country, said his cousin Liz Keating of Cincinnati. He just had this sense of purpose for what he was doing. He loved what he was doing, and he was a real-life superhero. So certainly we want to send our best wishes out to any friends and family members of Charlie that are still in the Bloomington area or in our listening area. We appreciate his service and sacrifice.
On another sad note as well, two local Bloomington businessmen passed away this week. The first, Jim Sprague, 69 years old, was killed in a car accident, as a result of a car accident, I should say, at Highway 37 and Tap Road Monday morning. A car, 2005 Hyundai sedan, was headed north on Highway 37 and approaching the intersection when it went into from the left lane into the right lane, where vehicles were stopped for traffic. It first sideswiped a second car and then continued north into the intersection and striking Sprague's car as the third vehicle involved. He had been traveling south on Highway 37 and was pronounced deceased at IU Health Bloomington Hospital later Monday morning. Also, on Thursday, it was announced that Monroe County Surveyor Kevin Enright had passed away sometime on Wednesday. The news is still fresh. They're still working on all the details on that. He was first elected as surveyor in 1996 after defeating a 12-year veteran of the office, Mike Friley, and he was uncontested in this week's May primary. More on that will probably be occurring in the coming days.
You know, a cool story, Jim, I don't know if you caught this one, but MCCSC, we know, has school-age kids, but they also serve adult learners as well.
Mm-hmm.
And earlier this week, a neat article from Laura Slavens in the HT talked about the Bloomington adult ed program, and 226 students MCCSC honored this past Wednesday night at the 2016 Adult Education Awards Ceremony. Adult learners were recognized for receiving certificates of achievement in English, math, or attendance, earning high school equivalency diplomas, and being accepted into the National Adult Honor Society. So very, very, very cool.
That is.
Yeah, and Rob Moore was a guest with Glass and Keith earlier mm-hmm. this week on Glass in the Morning, Tuesday morning, when he and Keith check in with MCCSC administrators. And Rob talked about this award ceremony coming up. So really, really cool that over 200 adult learners, and again, some of those are getting certificates for learning English as their second language, and others are getting their GEDs and equivalency degrees. So very, very cool, and cheers to Rob for running that program over there at the Old Broadview Elementary School, as well as the programming at Crestmont and in the Monroe County Jail.
That's just what I was getting ready to say. It was nice to hear that they're offering that to the local inmates as well.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, Sarah Peden is going to join us and talk about her daughter Lily and Prader-Willi syndrome. I think you're all going to really enjoy the interview. We'll be back in just a couple moments here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here with you. And Sarah Peden, a friend of mine. Actually, I was thinking as I came in tonight, did we first meet when you were working at MCL on the West Side?
Yes.
Is that where it started?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I couldn't remember. And that's been a few years back now.
Yeah.
10-ish years?
Yeah, about 10 years. I was planning events there.
Okay.
And I think I planned an event with you.
Yep. Yeah. When I was working for Mr. Hayes and Comprehensive Financial. And. Mm-hmm. The good old days, if
yep.
you will. Every day is a good old day, but anyway. But Sarah's back in the studio. It was a couple years ago that you were in here
mm-hmm.
Talking about your wonderful daughter, Lily, and Prader-Willi syndrome. And I've been pronouncing it wrong throughout the show already. Prader, it's actually Prader-Willi syndrome. And it's a genetic condition. How rare is this syndrome?
It's starting to get diagnosed earlier than it had been. So the numbers, they think it's about one in every 10 to 15,000
mm-hmm.
births. It's one of the most common rare genetic disorders. So we're mm-hmm. right there on the line of rare.
And Lily, you said, will be 7 this fall.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell our listeners, I mean, Lily's your oldest. And mm-hmm. when did you know that there was this condition was coming into your lives?
Yeah, it kind of caught us like a freight train. We had a normal pregnancy, and the birth was, we didn't even know what to expect. It was the first one. And,
sure.
She wasn't very responsive when she was born, and she didn't cry, and she didn't really move a lot. And we thought maybe she was in shock, just being in the world.
Sure.
Maybe she needed a little time to come out of it, and I could tell that everyone had a bit of a concerned look on their face,
mm-hmm.
and it just kind of continued like that. It was before Bloomington Hospital had their NICU, so we were in the special unit mm-hmm. that they were putting babies in then who needed a little extra support. And then they actually, she got her first helicopter ride to Riley Hospital when she was about 3 days old.
Okay. And really, when she was born, no mm-hmm. outward signs other than the moment and everything. I mean, we're talking the 10 fingers, 10 toes,
oh, yeah.
and all of
mm-hmm.
all of that good stuff.
Yeah.
So you go up to Riley, and how do they determine Prader-Willi syndrome?
So most babies now, when they are perceived to be hypotonic, where their muscles seem to be weak, so mm-hmm. there's a lack of muscle coordination. They don't move a lot. They don't kick. They don't cry. I'm learning now that it's becoming more common to test for Prader-Willi syndrome when you see that. It could be a number of things, but mm-hmm. that is part of what they test for.
And so with this diagnosis, mm-hmm. There comes obviously a great deal of learning because you, number one, weren't expecting this
no.
leading through your pregnancy mm-hmm. or anything. And I will say before we get into this, kudos to you and Phil and your family because you have accepted this. Mm-hmm. And Lily is a sweet young lady. I mean, I bought my Girl Scout cookies. She's a salesman if there ever was one. Let's just be honest, everybody. As you learned about this and everything, what were the first things that you realized you needed to adapt for in Lily's life?
Man, it was a nightmare, honestly. I mean, I wish I could say we just automatically wanted to embrace
sure.
the diagnosis, but honestly, we both thought our lives were over and everything that we had ever imagined was just mm-hmm. tossed. And, you know, we pulled it together and you realize, you know, she's perfect just the way she is. And the more we got to know her and her little personality, the more we just accepted her just as she
right.
is. Yeah.
So from the things that I've seen you share, and a lot of this we're going to be linking up on our Facebook page and on the WGCL website, a lot of this, as you mentioned, is the muscle weakness at birth, mm-hmm. but there's also a food issue
yeah.
with Prader-Willi syndrome individuals. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the biggest concern about Prader-Willi syndrome is that the food intake regulation, which they don't even know exactly what causes hunger.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why this is so complicated. It's just completely irregular. So our children, when they're first born, they have no desire to eat and they're a failure to thrive. And you have to feed them through feeding tubes and all the while knowing that one day it's going to flip to the complete opposite extreme where all they think about is food and all they want to do is eat. And so it's difficult. It's almost like every day you're just waiting for that ball to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, with us, we're seeing that it's more of a steady progression.
Transition. Okay.
Yeah. So rather than what we thought was going to be one day, she wakes up and she's starving.
Mm-hmm.
We noticed she had an increased interest in food, and then everything she wanted to play with was food related, and she always wanted to pretend to be cooking or feeding her babies, and
mm-hmm.
everything for her revolves around food. So right now she's not at the phase yet where she's got an insatiable appetite,
mm-hmm.
but we see it progressing that direction.
And this is obviously different than a kid growing up, so to speak, who goes through a growth spurt. I mean, we mentioned that
yeah.
Lily's going to be seven, so we're not into the puberty stage
yeah.
just yet. But it's you've seen the change, obviously.
Yeah, they've shown us brain scans of people with Prader-Willi syndrome. When they look at food, it lights up like a heroin addict would with
really?
Drugs. Yeah, it's extreme. It is an extreme obsession with food.
Is it any type of food? Is it a sweet fix or
nope.
a meat or anything? Mm-hmm. Or?
It's anything. Some kids will eat out of the trash. Some kids will eat frozen food. It is a spectrum. So some children have less boundaries
mm-hmm.
and some children have more boundaries. Lily is a picky eater. So I'm hoping that works in our benefit.
Sure.
Yeah. But she's also a rule follower. So thank God for that. She, you know, we give her the rules, and she, so far she follows them.
You put something on Facebook a while back about, I forget where you were or where Lily was, but she was offered something, and she said, I don't think that would be good for my stomach,
yeah,
or something like that. And for a 5-6-year-old to get that, mm-hmm, is pretty... pretty remarkable.
Yeah, we've never gone with the just a little bit method, or, you know, everyone thinks like moderation is key, but really, mm-hmm, with these kids, you can't, there can't, right, be moderation. It can't be, oh well, she just has a little taste of this cookie, because then she knows what it is, and there's nothing telling her I can't have that. If we let her, it just confuses her if we, right, let her have just a little bit of this and a little bit of that.
And before we take a break, some other symptoms, if you will, or pieces with this. I know that she's had some back braces and different things over time. Scoliosis, is that part?
Yeah.
Is that specific to the syndrome, or is that?
Yeah. So there's scoliosis runs in about between, it's a wide range, but they're saying 40 to 80% of children with PWS will have scoliosis.
Mm-hmm.
And she definitely, that is something that she struggles with. And it's an up and down roller coaster.
Sure. Okay. But to end the segment on a lighter note, she is in school right now, correct?
She is. Yes. She loves school.
Does she?
Mm-hmm.
Kindergarten, first grade?
She's a kindergarten at Edgewood Primary.
Okay. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Lily and PALS, because I understand, mm-hmm, she's an equestrian as well, and also some events coming up to learn more about PWS, and including the 2017 conference, which Sarah found out is going to be in Indianapolis next, yeah, year. So we're going to be back in just a couple moments here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Jim Inman here along with Sarah Peden. We're talking about Prader-Willi syndrome. Sarah and Phil Peden's daughter, Lily, was born with this. And you mentioned a little bit ago that she is riding horses down at PALS.
Yeah.
What does that do for Lily? I mean, obviously it's a fun experience, but what is that working on for her skills and everything?
So for her, it's just fantastic in so many different ways. She has a muscle weakness. So in one area, it helps her coordinate balance. It helps fire all those muscles in her core to build up the strength. It helps her scoliosis, developing those muscles on each side.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also just highly motivating. She loves animals. And to be able to ride a horse is just... it's incredible for her. They could ask her to do anything, and I think she would do
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah.
How often does she go down to PALS?
About once a week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And with your name, a lot of people know Peden Farms. Do mm-hmm. do Grandpa Joe, does he have a horse on the farm?
We're working on that.
Okay.
We are working on that.
Don't
want to
let out a Christmas gift or anything, yeah, like that, any secrets or anything. So what happens, what are the next steps for you and your family and with Lily's diagnosis? What happens as she gets older? We talked about the food, obviously, but
yeah,
what else comes with this?
As she gets older, there's a lot of things that could potentially happen. There's there are some psychiatric issues that could come up.
Mm-hmm.
There's more physical issues that could present. We really just take it one day at a time as it comes. School is always... an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, we're doing great with that. And even though it takes her longer to grasp concepts, she's enjoying it. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just really one thing at a time. We really focus on just advocating for her. And we like for people to know her strengths and all of the great things about her. That way, when they meet her, they know
right
how to interact with her and in the best possible way.
Absolutely. And that's what I mentioned earlier about the Girl Scout cookie thing.
Mm-hmm.
You did the video for her, and
yeah,
she works the room. I mean,
yeah,
she is a smart young lady. Absolutely.
That was a surprise. I had no idea. It was great.
Talking about Prader-Willi syndrome and this being the month of May, so what happens for families and those connected with PWS in the month of May?
So in the month of May, we really push for awareness. We just want people to understand our children, understand the struggles. It is a rare disorder. We do not get much funding when it comes to research projects.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually no drug on the market for our children for the hunger. that is the biggest issue that we focus on during the month of May. It's usually when we push most of our fundraising or begin most of our fundraising for the year is in May.
And you're doing an online fundraiser right now. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. We will be posting an online silent auction on our Facebook page. It's One Small Step Bloomington. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we've done that in the past and it's been a really good, just easy way for people to get involved.
And we will link it up on facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview and also wgclradio.com if you want to learn more about that. We'll have all of Sarah's information on there as well. And then nationally, mm-hmm. Well, let me back that up one step. Where's the nearest family, PWS family, aside from you? I mean, do you have anybody that you can drive down and have coffee with sometime? Or
it's usually a trip. There's one family close by. They're actually the child is an adult now, mm-hmm. and he lives here in town. We see him occasionally. The family is in Bedford. We really don't see them. Maybe once a year, we connect with them. Typically, I drive about an hour to see new families. That there's quite a few in Indianapolis, and anytime there's a new family that joins the Prader-Willi syndrome family,
welcome to the club.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
We try to welcome them mm-hmm. And just give them hope. So yeah, that's what I spend a lot of my time doing is traveling and meeting families, and just yeah, just giving them
sure.
hope.
What organization, what college, medical school, whatever, is there some group out there that's really leading the charge on research for mm-hmm. PWS?
Yeah, the Foundation for Prader-Willi Research, they have given the most money to research, and they are just a powerhouse. It's run mostly by parents of children with PWS mm-hmm. who just happen to be scientists and geneticists and actually know what they're doing.
Okay.
So it worked out really well for us that we have that network. And it's just like family. We've all become – it's almost like the sorority or fraternity that you never actually wanted to
right.
be in and then realized it's wonderful.
Right.
But yeah, we spend a lot of time getting to know everyone in that community and just bringing people in and – doing our best to educate researchers and they educate mm-hmm. us and spreading the words to doctors. There are a lot of doctors who have never had a patient with Prader-Willi syndrome. So
really,
then we educate them. And it's kind of backwards, but that's how it works.
And I mentioned the conference is coming to Indianapolis in 2017. Mm-hmm. This is an annual event. What happens at the PWS conference?
Yeah, so it's a research conference. The researchers who we are currently funding their projects, they come and present. The families come and get to hear where the money is going, what the research is doing, mm-hmm. what's coming up in the future. We get to actually sign up to be part of clinical trials. So like Lily participated in a clinical drug trial last year for a drug that we're really hoping will be on the market at some point.
Was it something that you saw significant?
We did.
Saw a change in?
Yeah, we saw a change. We only got it for a week.
I should say a positive
change.
Yeah,
we did. We saw a great change. And it's difficult because clinical trials take years
right.
and millions of dollars. And we saw the benefit, and it gave us even more motivation to just keep powering on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we have a lot of hope in that. And it's a drug that has been approved for other things, so it's not a brand new drug that we have to then...
it's the usage of
yes,
it for a PWS
yes.
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If folks want to learn more about this, we'll put all of this again on facebook.com/thebloomingtonreview. Tell listeners where they can go to learn more about Lily, about PWS, about any information in general.
Yeah. So the Foundation for Prader-Willi Research has a ton of information. Their website is fpwr.org.
Okay.
And then we have our Facebook page that I continually update at One Small Step Bloomington. And we're actually planning a walk fundraiser in Avon, Indianapolis area. Mm-hmm. And I'll be posting about that on our Facebook page.
Seems like the last time you were here, the walk was in Bloomington.
Yes.
And so we've moved different locations.
Yeah, we've moved to Avon for this year because there are so many families in the Indianapolis area. But you're the first to find out I am bringing back an event here next year.
Really?
Yes. It is. Yeah.
Can you tease any more about
it's
it?
It's going to be great.
Can you give us a type of event? Is music involved?
There will be music. There will be an open bar.
You got me sold.
It will be good.
Excellent. Excellent. Sarah, thanks so much for coming in. Much appreciated. And all the best to you and Phil and your kids and all that good stuff. We're going to take a break. Come back with sports. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Ms. Miller, the floor is yours. Where would you like to begin?
Well, we're going
to
begin where we always begin right now this time of year, and that's with baseball here on WGCL. The Reds are on the radio tonight. As soon as we're finished, as always, you will go back to the room and scuff up the baseballs and walk them out to the umpire, and we're going to turn it over to Marty Brenham and the Cowboy, Jeff Brantley, as the Reds, Dave Duff, my main man, and his Cincinnati Reds. He's loyal. I'll give him that. The Reds take on Milwaukee. Tonight after the game, after our show, then we have Saturday. Both games, coverage will start at 7 o'clock. We don't have Sunday's game, but we're back next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, as the Reds host the Pirates, and then next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Reds in Philadelphia. We'll have a bunch of those games. Check WGCLradio.com for all the broadcast schedule. But great, all these games, the coverage starts at 7 o'clock. So real easy to follow the Reds here on the radio at WGCL. IU baseball. Hey, Jim, I'll tell you, 26 and 16 overall. And we talked about this. Mm-hmm. I think there was a time they were like 11 and 12 or 12 and 11 or really scuffling.
Right.
And they have really rattled off a nice little run here. 11 and 4 in the Big Ten Conference this weekend. A critical conference. They are in Minneapolis for Friday, Saturday, Sunday games against the first Big Ten's first place team, the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. Then they're back to Bloomington next week. For a game against Kentucky, and then three games against Illinois Friday, Saturday, Sunday of next week. Or maybe that's Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
No, it's Friday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's how it probably should be. Those are the last home games of the season. So if you haven't got a chance to get out to the BART yet this year, next week against UK, always fun to beat them at anything. And then the Eli and I are in town. That's all next week.
A friend of mine is one of these bargain shoppers, and he went to the IU Surplus store.
Ooh.
As they were unloading a bunch of used baseball pants.
Cool.
He grabbed Schwarbers.
That's
He's already
great.
Sold them.
Yeah, I bet he has.
So I was going to get you a Christmas gift, but they went for a higher price than I
used
could afford.
Used pants. Well, keep shopping, Jim.
You
keep
might have a lot
shopping.
Larger inseam than Kyle.
Yeah. Hey, softball also, Coach Gardner and the Lady Hoosiers are up or on the road to Maryland also this weekend, so best of luck to them. Women's golf in the NCAA Regional and Texas and track and field at the Billy Hayes Invitational is here at home, so I think we know where Chuck will be this weekend. Besides that, Jim, the NBA Combine Camp, this is the pre-draft workout that will be televised on ESPN sometime next week. You have to check the listings for that. Do people still use the paper and check the listings?
I don't know.
I don't know if they do either.
When was the last time you bought a TV guide?
I don't really know anything about that. But Troy Williams invited to the Combine. He's one of, I believe, 63 that are in. Unfortunately, Yogi Ferrell was not in. He's listed as an alternate at this point and is not in the Combine workout list that was released recently. So that means Yogi's going to just have to work a little extra hard to get on some teams' radars as a potential fit for a tryout in the NBA. Track earlier from this week, Norse girls defeated South by 4 points, even though IU recruit Jackson Creek alumni Megan Grabowski from Bloomington South set a new school record in the 200. She is just awesome and a great person to go along with that. The boys, North-South, ended in a total tie. So how about that?
Really?
There you go. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs going on, hot and heavy. Of course, Golden State doing well. The Cavs shooting the lights out on the three-pointers. So probably destined for the Warriors and the Spurs in the West and the Cavs and somebody. I don't know if Toronto can do it, but probably be that in the East. But I would assume we're going to see one seed Cavs and Warriors unless the Spurs can come up with something out West. Two out of those three teams I bet will be in. But you know who's not in? The Pacers. And you know who doesn't have a job anymore? Frank Vogel. I don't know about this one, Jim. I don't know if you followed this. The news broke at 11 o'clock on Thursday morning yesterday when Larry Bird had his end-of-the-year conference. And Larry said he didn't fire Vogel. He just didn't renew his contract, which had expired. You remember that song, Things That Make You Go, Hmm?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I bet you do.
I do.
That wears me out on there, Jim. And then,
That's a word choice issue, if you will.
And then to compound what I think what was already a tacky situation to make it worse, the news broke that Larry told Frank that he was not going to come back over the phone. Frank Vogel, if you go back and you take a look at his record, and I don't have it sitting right in front of me here. I'll see if I can find it by the time we're done with this segment. But Vogel was 50 or 60 games over 500. He was 31-30 in the playoffs, which doesn't sound good, but that's still pretty darn good, considering that it takes three at least. Well, back then it took maybe two or three to be in or out, but it usually takes three or four wins to advance on. I guess I struggle with this, and if you go all the way back to where we talked about Chuck Pagano and should he come back as the coach of the Colts and so on and so forth, the big thing that I went with on that one, Jim, was who are you going to get? And so there you go. The Pacers won 58% of their games under Vogel, made the playoffs every year except for the season where Paul George broke his leg, and they pushed Miami to the brink in back-to-back conference finals, going seven games on that.
How many NBA teams make it into the playoffs?
Eight in each conference, so 16 total. So the top half of the league, basically. Right. That's not even necessarily true, because sometimes teams with losing records get in. It's just how bad are the other teams in your conference. But he took over for Jim O'Brien, who was at Ohio State, and came in, and no one liked O'Brien. The players just couldn't stand him. So Vogel was the voice of reason. He was the new voice. And what you kept hearing Larry Bird say today was that, they just need a new voice. They just need a new voice. I think it's like so many other things when you look, who are some of the most successful coaches in all the sports? Well, who's the longest tenured coach with any team right now in the NFL? Bill Belichick. Well, it's not a surprise that he wins. Look at Marvin Lewis with the Bengals. They go to the playoffs almost every year. Andy Reid with Philadelphia, now with the Chiefs. They go to the playoffs every year. These teams that recycle these coaches, and the Cleveland Browns have had like seven coaches in 9 years. Well, then they don't make the playoffs because it's a constant new system and stuff. And I think I hope Larry's got someone in mind, because if it's some retread, then we're in trouble. Now, if it's Jeff Van Gundy, or if it's Phil Jackson, that's a pipe dream. That'll never happen, obviously.
No.
And I hate to even mention that name. But if it's Jeff Van Gundy, or if it's one of these guys that has a pedigree that's been around, that'd be great. But if it's Byron Hill or one of these retreads that have already had two or three jobs and haven't really done much, it's like, well, why are you mixing this up?
Do you think the name Brad Stevens would come in the equation?
Oh, I'm
all?
Sure it would, but I don't think what he's got. He's got a really, really good situation in Boston, and they have this incredible, incredible amount of draft capital and draft picks and things coming up. And so I think Brad Stevens is probably set in Boston. But anyway, Frank Vogel's out. We'll keep you updated on who the Pacers bring in. And we're going to keep you updated on where Frank Vogel becomes the next head coach, because he'll be back in the league, if not right now, sooner than later. And then the Colts locked up Ryan Kelly. Their first-round draft pick has been signed, sealed, and delivered. And he is ready to bend over in front of Andrew Luck, hopefully for the next 5 or 6 years, and keep people away from our quarterback. What do you think about that, Jim?
It's a good, interesting way to
That's
put it.
That's what
I
the centers
say.
Do, Jim. Jeff Saturday, you know Jeff Saturday from your work at Coda.
Yes.
And he had many a joke
about
Peyton Manning and how all that worked and the things they did to each other to really make the best of a rough situation with having to get knocked into a ton. So anyway, that's sports.
All right, you got to cut out a few minutes early. So
I do.
Thanks again for coming in, brother. Much
you got
appreciated.
It. Thanks.
We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Stay with us here on the Bloomington Review. Welcome back to the Bloomington Review. Just a few minutes left in the program here, and Mr. Pillner had to cut out a few minutes early, but hopefully he will be back next week here on the show. Thanks again to Sarah Peden for joining us and talking about Prader-Willi syndrome. And again, we'll put all of the information about this illness on WGCLradio.com, on our podcast page, and also Facebook.com/TheBloomingtonReview. There's a lot of good information about this illness out there, and Sarah and Phil and their families, they've really embraced it, and as she mentioned in our conversation earlier, that they love all these unique things that make Lily who she is. So very glad that Sarah joined us here tonight on the show. Your forecast for the weekend tonight, Friday night, partly cloudy, a low around 52. Saturday, a 20% chance of showers for graduation day. Mostly in the afternoon, though, mostly sunny as well with a high near 80. Saturday night, slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, then showers likely with a thunderstorm possible after 8 p.m. Cloudy with a low around 51 Saturday night. And on Sunday, Mother's Day, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a high near 64. Early next week, the forecast is calling for rain most days, but highs in the low 70s. So we're getting into a little bit of the potentially muggy weather. We're not getting into the nasty stuff where it's 100 degrees and 99% humidity, but it's going to be wet and warm. That's how we're looking at the weekend here. As we mentioned, though, be smart, be safe this weekend. It is IUK graduation weekend. Commencement takes place Friday, 3 p.m. The Mellencamp Pavilion is the graduate ceremony. So that's already taken place today. But tomorrow, 10 a.m., Memorial Stadium, north side of campus, is the undergraduate ceremony. So again, watch out for all kinds of traffic, all kinds of craziness out there. And then if you're going to try and find a restaurant to visit on Saturday and potentially Sunday, good luck with that. As we all know, this is it's a great experience to graduate from Indiana University, but it is also a very hectic time in the community. So watch out for the people going the wrong way on one-way streets and all of that. And hopefully everybody gets home safely. Everybody gets their cap and gown and the important piece of paper that moms and dads have paid for quite some time. Also going on this weekend, Saturday, 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. Is the Elephant and Piggies We Are in a Play. This is happening at the John Waldron Arts Center downtown on South Walnut Street. It's a kid's experience, the award-winning Elephant and Piggy books by Mo Willems. There is a great performance downtown for that. Adults, $22. Students, $15. 12 and under are $14. And again, that is Saturday, 10 a.m. and 1 p.m. And then again, shows Sunday, 1 and 4 p.m. It is Gallery Walk Night, first Friday of the month. So you can head downtown and enjoy that till 8 p.m. or a little bit later if you would like. And then at the MAC, the Music Arts Center on campus, the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra with Menahem Pressler. That is, he is a guest pianist and IU faculty member. And you can check out that performance tonight, 8 p.m. at the MAC on Jordan Avenue. Then Saturday as well, the Stage Flight Circus and Adventures of Sherlock Holmes. This is happening at the Buskirk Chumley Theater, and you can enjoy that as well. It's another kids' event, lots of choreography, acrobats, aerial dancing, and clowns, and all kinds of good stuff. So check that out at Buskirk Chumley. All that information is from our good friend Julie Warren at Visit Bloomington, and you can go to visitbloomington.com for all of that information. Next week on the show, we continue the month themes. May is also Stroke Awareness Month, and Sonia Pruitt from IU Health Bloomington Hospital will be joining us to talk about the warning signs of a stroke, what exactly it is, what you should look for, how you should respond. A lot of good things and good information with this. A stroke, I heard someone described it as a heart attack of the brain. Not quite, but pretty darn close if you think about it. So we'll talk with Sonia next week here on the show. And then the week after that, Craig Hickman from ProBlue, didn't have it jotted down. We'll be talking about internet security here on the show. Everyone have a great weekend. Have a great Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to my mom and my grandmother and to all the women out there. And I know there's some dads out there who step up in the mother's role as well. So to all of those who have great kids out there, have a wonderful Mother's Day. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.